listening. This has been Technology Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM. We'll see you next week.
Support comes from Gateway Technical College, indispensable and in demand. Be that person with an administrative professional degree. Classroom and real-world experience. Learn online or in the classroom. Median starting salary, $31,000. Information at gtc.edu. WGTD is on your smartphone. For local news and the rest of the mobile version of our website, log on to WGTD.org. For live audio streams of WGTD, 24/7 Jazz HD2, and SportsWeb, visit the App Store and download the free WGTD app. Support comes from Piasecki Althaus, providing unmatched, compassionate service since 1931, dedicated to your family, guests, and supporting the community. Piasecki Althaus Funeral Home, honoring personal legacies in the circle of life. 262-658-4101.
Support for WGTD comes from Andrea's, proudly serving our Kenosha community since 1911. Visit Jack's Cafe for homemade soups, salads, and sandwiches. For today's specials, go to andreasgifts.com.
WGTD's Morning Show. Insightful questions put each week to the nation's top authors.
Those are great questions. It always makes for a better interview, for at least for the author, when the interviewer has actually read the book.
You're such a good interviewer, my gosh.
You really made me think. You really read the book.
Yeah. No other interviewer has really gotten into that. You really brought out some really great points.
Greg Berg holds the Morning Show weekdays after the 8 o'clock news, only on WGTD. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. This is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM, your gateway to public radio. I am co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and we are broadcasting from the Gateway Technical College Kenosha campus studio location, which is high atop the ultra-modern, full-on, cutting-edge Center for Bioscience and Information Technology building. Today, I'm very pleased to introduce to our listening audience my guests, Mr. Anthony First, who is a Veteran Services representative, as well as Rob Swanson, Robert, who goes by Rob. Both are Veteran Service representatives here at Gateway. And Mr. Ken Riley, my good friend, a non-traditional occupation specialist. And they all serve the Gateway Technical College system and oversee a variety of veterans student related support functions. And we'll be discussing those this morning. Again, they are all student support specialists in the Learning Success Department, and I'm especially pleased to have them on the show this morning. This is a special show in a way. You might call it a Veterans Day edition, and I certainly want to keep that in mind. And when I spoke with Anthony about this a number of months ago, he thought it was a good idea and ran the proposal by the powers that be, and here we are today, and I'm very, very glad to be able to do this. Veterans Day was specifically yesterday, but as we celebrate throughout this weekend, I think that the information that all three of these gentlemen are going to provide is going to be extremely important and underscores the support and appreciation we have for everyone who served in uniform. Now, as I do with all my guests, I am going to ask them all to share their background, including their professional preparation, military experience, and training, and how all that contributes to their credentials, and which supports the capacity in which they serve here at Gateway Technical College, and certainly the role education has played in bringing them to this point. And in other words, as I've always asked my guests, why does education matter to each of you? And I'm certainly going to be able to roll this over and start, but I want to make it very, very clear that I certainly want to thank conspicuously Anthony and Rob for their service as veterans. And Ken also, though, was in a paramilitary capacity serving as a police officer, and I'm certainly going to let him share some information about that. All of their training and contributions are extremely important to our community, and I think what they bring and will – clarify and illuminate for us is going to be extremely helpful. And I'm hoping that some veterans also will be listening this morning, or that the information can be shared so that they could revisit the podcast and get this information. Now, I'm going to let Anthony get started, and then we'll go into some questions that I've developed and I think will be helpful for our listening audience. So, Anthony, I know you're retired Navy. I'm not sure whether Rob is retired Navy also, but it doesn't matter. If you'd at least start and go into some of that information about your background, I'd be very grateful, and we'll let it roll from there.
Sure. During the time I joined the Navy, I was 21 years old. Had a decent job, I think, when I was out here in the civilian sector, but I wanted a little bit more. So I decided to give, it was between the Navy and the Marine Corps.
Okay.
Navy actually got there first.
Okay.
And
so they won.
Yes. So I took that adventure on. From the first day of boot camp, I knew that I was into something a little bit outside the norm.
Okay.
After completing boot
special.
Camp, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And after completing boot camp, I went to my unit. I served on board the USS John F. Kennedy, with an aircraft carrier, in the logistics support area of that command.
Okay.
Then at that time, you know, you go through as a young sailor, you're going in and you're starting to establish some security clearances and things like that, and working in some specialty areas. So my area was pretty much accounting and logistical support to some of our special operations units.
And most people would think, well, that's a big deal. You're crunching numbers. You're a bean counter. Why would you need a security clearance? Well, some of the information that you're handling is sensitive in terms of the units that you're supporting and that information and those numbers that you are crunching. But now, are you from this area originally?
I'm originally from Evansville, Indiana.
Okay.
And my parents moved to Racine, Wisconsin in 1961.
There's the local connection.
Yes.
And then did you go to your basic combat training or basic training boot camp at Great Lakes?
No, I didn't. At that time, there were three bases that the Navy had open.
Right, there were San Diego and
yep.
And
so I went to San Diego.
In Disneyland.
Yes.
I think that's what they were calling Orlando at the time. But so you did have an opportunity to travel. So very early on in your professional preparation, because this is a preparation for your professional life, you had already traveled. You had already been and left the country, again, seen a different American city and so forth, so that the experiences that you had greatly eclipse a lot of what most people tend to experience that stay in very, very close proximity to their comfort zone.
It allows me to, you know, having that travel under my belt and having that experience allowed me to sort of reach a different level of consciousness within myself.
And confidence.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I started to build, I had to start building on me. Mm-hmm. Because I knew there was either one day that I was going to continue to stay in the Navy, and which
sure.
I did, served 22 years, proudly served that, would go back in a minute.
Absolutely.
And so education became a very important part, just by speaking with some other senior members of the military, senior members and who drove education.
Sure.
So I started taking some off-campus courses and things like that. And at the same time, going to schools, what we call C schools, for the rating that or the NEC that I would hold.
Mm-hmm. NEC?
NEC was the National Enlistment Code. Which identified is more like an MOS.
Or which I will explain to our listeners, an MOS is a military occupational specialty, and that is a term that goes throughout all branches. But some have a different, an AFSC, for example, is an Air Force specialty code, I think. So that, just to clarify, as you hear abbreviations, which the military certainly and the rest of the government's famous for, and that's what that one means. And I didn't want to get past me. But all of the logistics classes that you took and finance-related classes were all leading up to what equates to a degree in accounting. I would think so.
I did do some accounting. I kind of strayed away from the county because, as you can see, I don't have hair as it is. But and I noticed that accountants spend long, arduous hours crunching numbers.
Yes.
During that period of time, I did. I crunched those numbers for the entire unit. Covered the present year and the two past fiscal years. So that right there, and every 15 days you have to turn in that report to the commanding officer.
Sure.
So there were some long nights, and those numbers had to be to the penny. So preciseness became very, very important.
Yeah.
Making sure documentation is there and all the other things. A little later,
well,
in my
precision
career.
Is part of that accountability.
Sure,
and that's just our watchword. That's what we and I say we, having a shared military experience, all embrace.
Mm-hmm. A little later, I kind of took a turn. I went into instructing. So
okay,
I was a nuclear weapons logistics instructor. So logistics became a huge part of moving.
And you don't toy around with that stuff without a clearance.
Right. Absolutely. So yeah. The clearance level went up beyond top secret,
mm-hmm.
and then it became a matter of moving that literature, because you never carried it with you. So
no.
It went through another channel, and then by the time I got to I used to instruct in Hawaii and Guam and then do some sub bases up in Bangor, Washington.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
That having that information there. But the biggest thing was my audience were top level officers.
Sure.
On down to the deck plate sailor.
Okay. Yep.
So we that information, everyone needed to know that. They needed to know what they needed to do in order to move that type of equipment.
So initial entrance essentially all the way up to the most senior.
Yes.
Officers, and that's remarkable, and that training goes into the very, very same kind of professional preparation that instructors and teachers get in the public education sector as well as in higher education. And again, all this is underscored by an importance and an incorporation into a higher education setting. And I think that's what's most important for people to remember. I will go to the other veteran service representative, Rob Swanson, who I found out earlier was a corpsman. What can you tell us a little bit about where you came from? What steered you into being a corpsman? And how that contributes to your position today?
Well, when I was 19, I had the decision whether I was going to go to college or join the Navy. And I wasn't quite ready to join or go to college, so I chose to join the Navy. Went down to MEPS, which is the station where they bring you in.
It's
processing.
A military entrance processing station.
Correct.
Yep.
And at that point, they offered me the A school of corpsman. So I'm like, well, sure, I like helping people. I like working with physical natures of things. So I joined to be a corpsman.
Okay.
I went to Great Lakes.
Okay.
So I was at Great Lakes in 99. And then while I was in corps school, the detailer came in, and at that point I had not learned yet, never volunteer yourself.
Yes.
And he said, I have two hot fill billets for a sea school. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll jump on this ship and raise my hand. And lo and behold, it was optometry sea school.
Uh-huh. And sea school?
Is just another level.
Another level of training. It's a level of specialization. Your A school is your basic advanced individual training, as I would call in the Army, and then you go there from there to other levels of specialization.
Correct.
Okay. So optometrist.
Optician.
Optician. Okay.
So technician.
You were making glasses.
Making glasses, fitting glasses, doing eye screenings.
Doing eye screenings. Okay.
All right. All that stuff. The front office part of an optometry clinic.
And your initial skill set was tested perhaps as part of the ASVAB, the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery process. And when you were sitting in class, was it very difficult learning this new language of optician and medical terminology?
Yeah, there was a degree of difficulty to it, but okay. I seemed to pick it up fairly quickly. So,
And isn't it amazing how those tests can pick up those aptitudes?
Yeah,
and so sitting in a class, if you had to, for a general education class, when all those credits or all that training is considered for credits, and someone says, "Okay, you're going to sit in a biology class to fulfill a general education requirement as part of your bachelor's degree," you've heard it all before.
Correct.
in a lot of cases, and you're comfortable with working with it and knowing how to apply it.
Correct.
And that was what time frame? You said 99 is when you started?
Well, I got out of boot camp in 99. Okay. That's when I started my A school.
Okay.
So,
and where did you serve?
I served. I did a year in Virginia, Yorktown Naval Weapons Station.
Okay. Wow.
And then I came back to Great Lakes. I did 5 years out in Great Lakes.
Hardship
and,
duty.
Yes. I was at Recruit Training Command, so it was quite interesting.
Sure.
I was actually serving there during 9/11, so that was a rather interesting experience because we couldn't say anything about it because we had no idea where the recruits were from.
Sure.
So we didn't need that information getting out to the recruits.
Right, right.
And then I finished my duty in Hawaii. So.
Okay. Oh, wow. Another hardship tour.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Ken, my latest, and who's also been a guest on this show, I'm going to let him go into a little bit more of his background, and then we'll get started with some of the questions and clarify some of the perspectives, I think, that people will find very, very helpful as part of this Gateway Technical College learning success journey.
Well, at a very young age, I always wanted to make sure I had education on my A-list.
Okay.
And I always wanted to be a public servant. I had the opportunity to become a police officer in the city of Madison, and that's where I also received my training through the academy. So that fulfilled my public servant mission there. In education, I'm working here at Gateway. I'm able to serve students, support students, making sure that they graduate, find a job, and be able to go on through their journey in life. So I fulfill both of those needs.
But part of that higher education was actually your on-the-ground police or training as a police officer in Madison. Did they have an academy or did you?
Yes, we had an academy right at the city of Madison. Yes.
Okay. So you were sitting in classes, taking notes, and doing the whole nine yards.
Yeah, just soaking it all in as a sponge. You know, I just wanted to learn as much as I can. So when I'm able to go out on duty, I want to be able to provide the best service I can, as well as
get home at night
and interact with the training that I received.
Yeah, yeah. Now, have you done some college coursework since that time?
Yes, I actually when I was at the City of Madison, I already had my bachelor's degree.
Oh, what was that in?
I have my bachelor's degree in kinesiology.
Is that right? And what school did you go to?
Rockford College in Illinois.
I'll be darned. Okay, kinesiology, for those that need a Riley to English dictionary, that's physical education.
Physical education.
And the hard science part of it. A lot of people don't realize that that's a very, very specialized skill set. Anthony, how about yourself? I know that you had been doing some college along the way and finished your degrees and so forth. Is that something that you can capitalize on or capture and say, yep, it was this school?
Took a lot of business courses, business management, and I ended up getting my bachelor's degree in business and management through Cardinal Stritch.
Oh, Cardinal Stritch, okay. Another wonderful local school.
But to kind of enhance that, I did graduate. I graduated from Gateway Technical College with my associate degree.
Sure.
And marketing.
Very, very important. Very, very helpful.
So marketing is, I think, is a very important element in any business because you have to be able to market yourself.
Sure.
You have to be able to market products.
Those communication skills are extremely helpful.
And as you know, I have to market these students. I have to showcase
market to them
the talents that they have and bring those forward.
And that's why I brought Ken along. We'll discuss that in just a little bit, but I'm going to let Rob finish up also with his college experience and how a lot of that translates or equates from the medical training you received.
Well, I got my associate's in medical office administration and my bachelor's in healthcare management.
Where was that from?
Herzing University.
Oh, Herzing University. Okay, okay. Another. I know they have an extension where they have a campus here.
Correct.
Okay.
And
wonderful.
A lot of my Navy time was able to transfer in. A lot of my classes, like my A&P 1 and 2, my anatomy and physiology.
Yes, okay.
I didn't have to take those. So.
Wow, very important to remember. And again, I've learned a while ago, and our listening audience has learned to accept that the military is certainly more than just beans and bullets anymore. It truly is a higher education option. So those people that represent it are our education, local education resources. Now, how many veterans do you serve that attend or are eligible to receive benefits at Gateway Technical College? And either or, Anthony or Rob, do you have
Well, currently I case manage about 73, 74 students.
Okay.
Out of the total of what total population at Gateway may have.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Those individuals have been determined that we agree to help each other.
Sure.
And for me to help them and get them through their education. So,
okay.
The 73 is a large load,
mm-hmm.
But it is manageable throughout the district that that I'm assigned to.
Well, Rob, do you share that caseload with him, or do you have a caseload of your own?
I will have a caseload of my own. I started 2 weeks ago, so I'm building my caseload. But we do have 200.
We knew this. This was your baptism of fire.
There we go. We do have 247 people utilizing veteran benefits at Gateway.
Wow. Okay. Wonderful. And so who is eligible? Is it just the kid the young person that's returned from deployment to Pakistan? He's now here with let's say, a National Guard unit or something like that, and has the opportunity to enroll in college, or maybe got out of the military and very recently, or is it older people? What can you tell us? Who is actually eligible to receive these benefits?
Any individual who has joined the military.
Okay.
Whether they be Guard, Reserve, Coast Guard,
right.
Army Reserve, Navy
sure.
Reserve, those individuals are eligible because they've earned their if they were in there 2 years or more,
mm-hmm.
then they've earned their education benefits through the Reserve or active duty,
right.
or their unit.
But as opposed to talking about the particulars, because funding streams differ. And regardless of component, I know that you even mentioned when I had students coming over here, anyone who had a grandfather that served. Tell us a little bit about that. How is someone eligible to receive benefits who grandfather served?
Someone who's a descendant. We have our local VFWs here in the areas that do offer benefits for our descendants of our
so
veterans.
So that's something that's available through the veterans organizations, or in this case, as you said, the Veterans of Foreign War.
Yes.
Okay. For those people listening to this show, and or if you're not listening, if you know someone who should be, please keep this in mind and pass it along. So what programs are they in? And I'm going to get Ken in on this in a second. He already knows it. And the audience doesn't see it, but he's nodding. He's chomping at the bit to weigh in here. But what programs are they in? Are they in a lot of hard trades or skills or is there one a preponderance or a great number of programs?
Well, they seem
the
to cover
are?
The whole spectrum. As far as, I mean, we have our medical students, whether they're non-traditional or traditional.
I'm glad you said that because that gives Ken his up. Now he's on deck.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
And we also have a lot of our veteran students are in business classes.
Sure.
A lot of them are in our CNC programs.
That's computer numerical control, which is manufacturing related.
Yep. Robotics programs.
A
lot of IT programs.
Okay.
Things like that. So we cover the whole spectrum. It's just that
mechanic was doing a lot of IT at one point. Typically, and when I look at one MOS and one specialty that I would have seen in the Army, my goodness, why not be involved in information technology? Yeah. If they had to get a part, they were going to have to order it through a computer, do diagnostics to figure out what part it was. And so information technology is a big part of their job, a collateral part of their job.
And there's a communication aspect of that, too. You have to be able to know
we didn't sleep if we didn't talk. And that was we had to have satellite shots in and air defense, which was and those air defense missiles were run by the satellite. Let's face it. That's just the way it is. But, so they're pretty well distributed throughout all the programs, and that's at all four campuses when we count Burlington.
Correct.
Okay. And now, are there any NTO areas or non-traditional occupation areas that you know of that are especially well represented?
Well, we do have our EMT program.
Okay.
It's pretty diverse, men and women.
Okay. So the emergency medical technician is, and that's in a beautiful new facility.
Yes.
Out in Burlington. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And of course our medical program. Okay. It's more female component than male component, but our male component do exist.
Okay, and it's increasing.
It is increasing.
Okay. Well, I am going to let Ken weigh in that the non-traditional occupation areas that he works with, I'm sure there are some that pose a greater potential or area of need. Is there anything that you could comment on in that? If you had a student coming in right now, someone gets referred to you, and we'll be talking about this after the re-intro. If you could make a recommendation right now that someone's pinging you and saying, you got to get me some of these guys, you got to get me some of these young ladies, which areas are they?
I would definitely say the CNC program.
Okay, so that's the big one right now, is manufacturing.
And HVAC. We would love to have that. Our community is growing.
So you need young women in HVAC.
Yes. Okay.
And everyone in CNC.
Everyone in CNC. Our community is growing. As you know, we are a manufacturing area. We have jobs waiting.
Okay.
But we just don't have anyone to fill those positions.
Okay. And now, as non-traditional occupation are concerned, what makes a non-traditional occupation? In other words, what makes an occupation non-traditional?
I'm glad you asked that. It would be any gender, male or female, which occupies less than 25% of the workforce.
Okay.
And what that means is for a female will go into welding, engineering, and we're going to say cosmetology.
Okay.
And the barbering sector of that. And a male will go into a program of nursing, human services, and
okay.
those type of fields.
Okay. And that's again, very, very important to know about. And CNC is short across the board, so it almost doesn't matter. We can't find enough qualified applicants to fill the vacancies that exist within the CNC population.
That's correct. If we can get the students to come into those programs, they will definitely have a job once they finish with their training.
If they finish. That's some of the problem Gateway has. They can't hold on to students because they're getting hired.
That's correct.
Wow, what a terrible problem. Well, this is Education Matters on WGTD, 91.1 FM, your gateway to public radio. I am co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and my guests this morning are Mr. Anthony First, Rob Swanson, and they're both veteran services representatives with Gateway Technical College, and Mr. Ken Riley, my friend, a non-traditional occupation advisor and representative or specialist with Gateway Technical College. Within their positions, they oversee a variety of veteran students at Gateway Technical College and support them in a variety of functions, which we are discussing this morning. So we just went over talking a little bit about some of the areas of greatest need, and I think that would be attractive and interesting to any veteran student, but a veteran student in particular, because of their experience, as we found out from all these gentlemen, people working in a military or paramilitary capacity see a great deal of variety within their skill sets. There are many, many collateral or lateral specialized skill sets that support their primary focus or job. So if a veteran student enters Gateway Technical College and has some veterans benefits that they want to use, and certainly they're available, how does a veteran student get started with your programming? I'm going to let Rob weigh in here a little bit because he's new and he's sweating bullets. But first of all, is the process a relatively simple walkthrough to describe to our listeners? And certainly I'm sure that Anthony, having done this for a while, is going to have his own perspective. But Rob, does someone just walk into your office when they're considering going to Gateway Technical College?
Well, they would probably start with the admissions office before they get to my office. But after that
process, student support over there.
Student support, correct.
Okay.
So once they get through the admissions process and the financial process, then they would probably walk into my office.
Okay.
And we could help them out.
How are they identified, excuse me, to go to your office? Is it someone in the student specialist or does a new student specialist say, hey, you're a veteran, you need to see one of these guys?
One would hope that they would, and I'm sure that they do.
And I think that Dr. Tammy Summers makes that point crystal clear.
Yes.
That if you see a veteran in front of you, get them over to either Rob or Anthony.
And when they see the student financial specialist, they have to get their VI or their benefits certified.
Got it.
then that's where we can catch them also.
Okay, yeah, and you catch them up there. Anthony, is there anything else that you could add to that that makes this any more seamless or user-friendly a process?
What we do here at Gateway, it doesn't matter how the student comes in.
we discussed that warning before. There's a lot of nodding here that the audience can't see. But no, go ahead.
Once a student enters a Gateway door, if they're a walk-in, we want to make sure that they actually get to the right area. We want to start them from the beginning.
Do you ever get a notice of people that are separating and saying, hey, be on the lookout for these guys that have expressed an interest in going to your to Gateway Technical College?
Through some of our services that we have out in the community.
Okay.
We do have a link through those individuals, and if that individual shows education as a strong point, then those facilities do refer them over.
Those agencies, essentially.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Okay.
Are these all veterans agencies?
These are all veteran agencies.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So very important for that person who's ETSing to make contact with those agencies, either through a direct contact if they see them at a hiring event or something of that nature, or perhaps and at some point perhaps we'll invite Ollie Nelson in, who is our local county veteran services officer, who can I'm sure add and include his own perspective as to how someone can get involved on that education path.
Absolutely.
Again, when you speak with a new student, what are some of the benefits and what are some of the services? And I'll let you share this and not to argue, but what do you talk about primarily? That is there a checklist that you go through? Or does the student direct the conversation and say, well, I'm thinking of doing this, and then you go into your thinking cap and say, well, we've got this program. Can veterans take advantage of the TRIO program, for example? Or other completion options like the 1+3 or a 2+2. And do you talk about that, or does another advisor talk about that?
I think as a veteran to a veteran, and we're sitting and having a conversation, the conversation gets a little loose. So we talk about things and talk about their experiences, which gives me a good idea as their support specialist what services they may require from Gateway.
Sure. Okay.
So as we're going through that conversation, I get an opportunity to kind of build a rapport with that individual, and then maybe as we're walking him to the area where he's going to start,
sure,
getting processed into Gateway, it gives me an idea of what services I would recommend or I'm going to recommend him for once we get and able to speak about his education future.
Sure. Okay.
Because my job is completely focused on him completing his program.
I'm glad you said that, because you said completely focused, and typically people get the impression that by the time they come here, they are completely focused. They know exactly what they're going to do. Is that a fair characterization of the conversations you have, or do you find some folks on the fence that you can say, you know what, you need to be talking to Ken Riley?
I do. Ken and I have a very good relationship.
I know that.
When it comes down to our veteran students,
and
even our veteran students who may fall into the category of a single parent, then that kind of trumps what I can do for that individual, because now he's offering more.
Okay.
I feed that student over to Ken, but I still service that student as a veteran.
So. Ask, and then Rob, has that been a part of your experience so far?
Oh yeah, yes. We definitely, between the TRIO and the Heads Up, and we have a veterans to veterans mentoring program that we have.
Okay.
So that they start pretty much with Anthony or myself, and then we can move them into the other services.
Okay.
And vice versa, if they go to the other services first.
Sure. So. But then, as far as NTO students are concerned, are there any that you can think of it, or you have a fairly decent feel that, yep, I've got a number that are veterans, and I'm able to help them out, and they are just a real fireball, because once I get them focused on what NTO opportunities there are, non-traditional occupation opportunities there are, they are just on fire by the time they get in there.
Yes, we start off with an open line of communication. Anthony and I, we always let each other know if there's a veteran that's qualified for NTO, and if I come across a veteran that qualifies for his program, we refer that student to that specific program.
But he mentioned something about so someone doesn't necessarily always come in with a consistent, solid focus on what they want to do. And then, of course, that's what I'm thinking. Okay, let's get Ken involved. But now some other considerations. You mentioned single parent. What's that got to do with it?
Single parent. I oversee the step-up program for single parents.
And
we are able to get veterans help in that area as well.
Okay. So that's a part of non-traditional occupations. It's almost as if there's a consideration, much like we have in the public schools, for at-risk students. And these are some folks that have some somewhat extraordinary challenges. But I would tell you, and I would challenge you, I think we're all in agreement that those veterans are probably far more resilient in terms of coping with and managing some of those challenges, which is a tremendous advantage for you. I've got to believe that it's not a cakewalk, but your case management isn't invested as much in terms of intervention as far as veterans are concerned, as compared to other students. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, that's fair. One thing that Anthony and I have been doing for the past 2 years, when we come across a student, we ask them personally, "Are you a veteran?"
Okay.
And if they say yes, we say thank you for our service, and then we provide them the support that they need to make sure that they be a successful student.
So, and that's any number of the programs that you support and you're involved with. And you said Step Up, and is there anything in particular you would want to be able to describe to any of the listening audience at this point that they may not know? I'm sure that these are probably brand new terms that I'm sure that perhaps people that are listening are thinking, gee whiz, I never knew that was available at college. I sure wish it was available when I was in college.
Yeah, basically the Step Up program, I've been overseeing that for the past 4.5 years. It's basically open to any individuals, male or female, who is either single parent, unemployed, underemployed, married, and taking care of their loved ones. And what we do is we provide support for all those students to make sure that they finish their program, graduate, and find a job in their field.
So for someone who doesn't meet the profile of the most traditional student. That's great. So in non-traditional occupations, you might just say you've also got NTSs, the non-traditional students.
That's correct.
Wow. What a great – and that's – I think that would be reassuring to anyone listening to this, that there's a platform of support that is not generic, that it is specialized to the unique needs of people that are – certainly within our community and certainly attempting to make their contributions and at a greater level. So, and again, I even think that, as I've mentioned before, whether they're a veteran or anyone in even a paramilitary capacity as a police officer, you had mentioned some of your experience in Madison, Ken, yet along the way, besides the exercise of your initial and most immediate duties, you had other support requirements. If the squad wasn't running right, somewhere along the line you're going to have to communicate with someone and have a maintenance issue addressed, as well as radio stuff, communication, written skills. And so, you know, there's a lot of veterans, I'm sure, would agree that there's a very flexible, even out-of-the-box approach to their military-acquired skill sets. And again, this makes up a lot of the general education requirements once they've completed their training. And that transcript, which is what it is presented to that admissions officer. They're going to say, oh, my gosh, you've got all these credits. You don't have that much to finish up in order to earn. We're not going to give you a degree. You're going to earn it. But one would think that the NTO opportunities or non-traditional occupation opportunities would be very attractive or intriguing to someone with that level of confidence. And again, how are they represented in the programming that you coordinate, Ken? And by that, can you think of any, without names and so forth, are there any in particular that you can think of, the females that are in welding, for example, or that male who was a combat engineer? Now all of a sudden he's an interior design. Is that something you can relate to, I guess?
Yes, I had last semester I had a female in automotive She was also a veteran. She graduated with honors.
Okay.
And now she's working in the local community at an automobile place.
Was she actually able to finish her programming, or was she one of these that was hired before she could finish because they're that valuable?
She was practically almost hired before she finished, and that's because she put in the legwork. She reached out to other people. She got involved. She did all the necessary things to make her attractable to the community.
And that, and then just in particular, was she trained as a mechanic or an automotive technician in the military also?
That's correct.
Okay. So this was something that was close to what she was doing anyway. Anyone that you know of that fell off the boat and went in a completely different direction?
We have a couple of students that come in that's undecided, and that's totally okay. And what we do is we want to bring them back in. We have a survey called the Strength Survey.
Okay.
And what we do is we want them to take that survey so they can get their top five strengths so that can help them gear what path they want to go into.
Well, I really appreciate that that perspective. I think that's enormously helpful, and I think it's probably not something people expected to hear this morning about the programming opportunities that are available here at Gateway. And to include Anthony as well as Rob, do you find yourselves leaning toward your particular specialties and background? In other words, if someone comes in and they want to play with or crunch numbers, is that something that you glom onto real quickly, Anthony?
Well, I can understand exactly where they're coming from, especially when they're talking about a financial accounting or any type of in that area. But I'm more interested in what they want to do, what it is they want to do.
Totally get that. But you can bring that helpful perspective. Someone who wants to go into landscaping, doggone it, they're going to have to know something about crunching numbers.
They got to know about numbers.
And I would think also, Rob, again, that landscaping person, or is there anything in particular where you have seen and been especially helpful in terms of your own professional training that someone may needed to have been guided back? In other words, I want to go into this level of, let's just say, to be an optician, and they're colorblind, or they have some real difficulty with some of the terminology, or don't expect that they're going to have to study this kind of thing. Has that been any of your experience at this point? I mean, I know it's 2 weeks.
No, I have not, but I could see that become that issue coming up, and I think you just have to guide them. I mean, we figure out what their strengths are, and we guide them down a path. And another thing that a military individual coming, a veteran coming in, would have is that attention to detail that we all get, which helps us in college.
Sure. And a more objective perspective, I think, as far as the assistance you're going to provide, because there is that camaraderie and respect initially that this is someone who's been there and done that, worn my boots, and I think that's extremely helpful. There is a respectful connection right off the bat. But is there any program that really impresses you at Gateway? Here you are. You're new to this program, Rob. Is there anything that really impresses you in terms of whether it's landscaping here or something in graphics out in Elkhorn? What is it? Or veterinary assistant, for all I know.
Well, the one program that impresses me, and actually I've been thinking about maybe even doing it when it comes in fruition, it's not up yet, but they're going to be offering a medic to RN program.
Oh.
Or they're talking about offering a medic to RN program.
And piece of cake for you, simply because you know all the terminology, you've practiced stuff, and probably been exposed to some protocols that most run-of-the-mill nurses just don't see.
Correct.
Anthony, any particular program that really jumps out at you?
Yeah, there's a collaboration that's going to be coming with Gateway and Cardinal Stretch, and I had an opportunity to talk to the provost, vice president at Cardinal Stretch, and hopefully we can get I'm more interested in counseling and education.
Wonderful.
So I still have 4 years of my Wisconsin State GI Bill available to me.
Wow.
That I can also use for that. So if that component comes in, I'll be more than happy to
support that and promote that.
Degree.
Sure.
Absolutely.
And Ken, what do you think of the Police Officer Academy here?
Oh, very good program. I actually had the opportunity to go on prison visits with the students. I have the opportunity to get involved with the classes. I just enjoy the Police Academy as well as the other classes.
Well, I'm grateful for your time and perspective and the opportunity to share what your knowledge is. And as much as I have seen your enthusiasm to share this with the community. And this has been Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM, your gateway to public radio. I'm co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and my guests this morning have been Mr. Anthony First and Mr. Rob Swanson. Both are Veterans Services representatives here at Gateway Technical College. And Mr. Ken Riley, our non-traditional occupation specialist. Within